The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but are well done by Terrific T. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Just look at the headlines and go, today? Today, Lord, this would be good. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, but some of us won't. That's unfortunate. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow, at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's really going to happen. Kind of don't care, because for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. The Christian thingy, you know, living life that way, you know, functioning that way, you know, being a Christian and watching the news, being a Christian and going to restaurants, being a Christian and engaging with people on a regular basis. Now, you've got some excellent shows on radio and on television, even on podcasts that really give you some great teachings, and we applaud them all. In fact, golf clap. Okay, but our show's a little different. We gear it a little differently, more like a brother in the Lord might be the way I'd like you to think of it. And here we're going to try and do our best to apply some of the things that we're learning and try and figure out some of the other things we don't get. Just try and do it together while we look at the Word and talk to one another. So if while we're talking, we cover something and you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, you are welcome to reach out to us. We would appreciate it. It's kind of makes the show fun. Because we kind of like enjoy one another. Here it is. So you call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. That's when you get to talk to Terrific T. Now, what we've decided is I've limited to five components that I'm now going to brag about her for, you know. But some of these are pretty good. And the one that she likes the most, and you got to admit it's a pretty good one, is when you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone, and it's like you got a check in the mail that's real.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens when you call in. Here, that's the bottom line. Then she turns you over to me, and it's like, that's great, but you don't have a car to get to the bank to cash it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So don't be afraid to reach out to us. We'll do our best to have fun, have a good time encouraging, lifting one another. See the bottom line? Encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. And can you just look out there and see the day is approaching? It's getting closer and closer. Things are getting nuttier and nuttier. I mean, it's just really weird. You can also text us, by the way, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That comes right to the desk, gives me a chance to read it and look at it. Doesn't mean I'll say it on the air, but it gives me an idea what's going on. Plus, you can also email us, david@hemustincrease.org, right to my $19 Chromebook. Get the opportunity to read that as well. Our whole goal, we have some monologues, compelling, riveting interviews. That's going to start ramping back up as you have found out that Texas is changing its approach to masks. And everybody's probably pretty excited about that because then it's just less masky, right?
I'm a neat, nervous, clean freak, so
So
this
for you,
is nervous. This is nerve-wracking.
I did think it weird that they released 108 people into the country from the border that they were allowing to come into the border, which, you know, that's a whole separate discussion. But that 108 of them had the COVID and they let them in Texas. It's like, why would you do that? It's a whole other subject for a whole other time. One of those weird things like, oh, you guys are going to open it up? Oh, we'll teach you. I'm like, wait, what? So we'll deal with that later. Here's the bottom line, though. The bottom line is for all of us, we have things that we hear, good news and bad news. I came up with a theory. It's a new theory. Don't get mad at me. It's not a real biblical theory, but it was a thought I had when I was getting the coffee ready for Noelle and I for tomorrow, and that is this. Maybe one of the reasons that the masks were allowed in the United States is because everybody whines so much. Less whining throughout the entire nation because the masks are on. What do you think? That's a pretty good thought.
That's very true.
That's like a little less complaining coming out of the country because people aren't talking as much. Like, wow, that's a pretty good one. All right, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now, recognize you can reach out to us, by the way. You can do it on the website. There's a little form there, and we don't share that information. Okay, we don't sell it to the highest bidder unless they give us gold. Okay, no, I'm kidding. So you're welcome to fill that out. Nobody gets to see it. You can also reach out to us during the show. If we're talking about a subject, maybe we're doing prayer requests. Maybe we're doing praise reports. Maybe we're doing Bible trivia, which we'll do in the next segment. I really enjoyed yesterday's Bible trivia and how everybody responded to it. And all that we're asking is you call once. We're not saying don't call. Please call. We want you to. But once so that every people can get the chance to call in. It gives new people an opportunity to participate as well. Before we do any of that, though, I've been hanging out in Psalm 103 a little bit. And I've been having fun with it. So I want to just do that for about the next 5 minutes. And then we'll go from there and see what happens. But in Psalm 103, it's known as the benefits Psalm. So when you get a job, or when I get a job, or when I start a career, or when my wife started with Tom Thumb, whatever, after a certain amount of time, you get benefits. Okay. You get those benefits and you can choose to utilize them or not, depending on whether you contribute or not. Well, I think there's a lot of truth to utilizing them or not. And God grants us many, many benefits, and not all of us are aware of them. And certainly, even if we are aware of them, we're not always utilizing them. That's rather unfortunate on our part. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love." Now, this is a benefit I want you to see. It's kind of like a four-pronged benefit. Here's the first part of it. God is compassionate. The Lord is compassionate. And you might be thinking, well, how does that work when I go through this or when I go through that? A great way to understand the compassion of the Lord is to see how Jesus responded to the leper who was not supposed to be touched. The leper said, "If you want to, you can heal me." And then the Bible says that Jesus touched him. That was a breach of the law. I know you guys know that. But he did it anyway to express his love, his compassion. And in that compassion, the Lord feels with us. And I think what we think of is we think of compassion as more sympathetic. And I can understand that because God to man is a little different. But because Jesus, being God, became a man, he can do it also from an empathetic point of view as well as a sympathetic point of view in the sense of hurting or in the sense of pain. So the compassion of the Lord is a real process of his empathy, of his touch, of his reach out to us, of sharing with us in some of our burdens and some of our heaviness. And I think what happens is we disconnect the Lord from that idea because he is holy, he is righteous, the universe revolves around him, everything is in that way, but we sometimes get the picture that God is so holy and so high up that he has no connection to us, and that's the flaw. And I will tell you that this psalm was written by King David, and it was written in the Old Testament. So we know that through Jesus Christ, we have the exact representation of God. And so we get the illustration how God reacts and interacts and engages with people through Christ. But even David, because he knew the Lord, knew, hey, God is compassionate. Now, here's a guy that did something really, really, really wrong. He did a lot of great stuff, wrote some unbelievable psalms, but he did something real, real bad. And even in the framework of his life, in doing something really bad, he's able to still state, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Some of you have circumstances and you don't understand that the Lord is compassionate for you in them and gracious for you. He wants to give you grace for your situation. What we do most of the time is we try to earn everything, right? We try to deserve it. But you understand that grace is not given because you're worthy of it or because you earn it. It's given because of the character of God. And in your circumstance, you might need graciousness, which is beyond your worthiness. And so this kind of passage tells you the benefit. The Lord is compassionate. He feels with you. He understands. And he's gracious. Now, that doesn't mean that he answers or solves it the way you want to, because God's timing and methodology are his and his alone, which means that you don't come before the Lord, pray a prayer, and then tell God how to do it. Okay, here's my prayer. Do it this way. It's like, will you stop that? Okay? The Lord is the Lord. He knows how to be God. That's a wonderful part about him. And two of these benefits that stand out of this one verse, he's compassionate, so he feels it with you, and he's gracious, something you can't deserve, but he's willing to give you because of who he is. Now, isn't that cool? That's the way to start Wednesday, baby. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, No pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm doing a little better. I started my paper. It's a long paper, but I did start it, and I got a nice outline, so I'm happy. I know people are praying for me because sometimes I look at that stuff and I go, why? That's what I say. Now, I know what God's saying back. I mean, I'm just telling you right now.
Why not?
I know that's what's going on. But anyway, be that as it may, let's do our first trivia question. Here's the first question. So yesterday we did these things on who said this, who said this. And I kind of liked that. I think that was really kind of fun. And so I'm going to keep that going along these lines. So here's the first trivia question. Who said, speak for your servant hears? Speak for your servant hears. Who said that? Who said speak for your servant hears? Okay. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. Because we know there's more news coming, more news every day. And what I really want Christians to do with the DNA is think about, this is how I should be functioning every day, no matter what I hear, no matter what comes my way, this is how I ought to process. The DNA acronym stands for D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily, which means daily engaging with the Lord, which I cannot stress does not mean, oh, I thought of God. That is not daily engaging with God. Talking to God. Now, does it have to be 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 5? No, 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 no. But just talk to him on a daily basis. That's the D of DNA, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Never be ashamed of what's written between Acts and Revelation. Never be ashamed of the word of God. List Jesus be ashamed of you. And there are some things you want in life, and that is not one of them. Okay? That's the D. Then we have the A. That's the D. Then the N for DNA. Now the A, always be ready. Always be ready
to serve.
To serve. I didn't say it twice because she was talking to Jennifer. Always be ready to serve. So always be ready to serve means that you are God conscious, where you are aware and being sensitive to the Lord. And then serving is your capacity to also be aware of other people, thus fulfilling to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. See? See how nifty that is? It's kind of the nifty stuff. My new word of the day, nifty. Okay, so again, the trivia question for those that want to text in. We got people texting in, getting correct answers. Who said, speak for thy servant hears? Somebody in the Old Testament said that. Speak for your servant hears. Ooh, I'm going to leave it right there. Okay, we did that. We did the DNA. Did the website last time, so we're just going to go on. Is there anything else we need to cover? I don't think so. And then we're going to do the rest of this teaching because this next part of this is really important. I am doing that prep, like I told you, on Ezra, Nehemiah, and Acts, the book of Acts. Plus, you're going to hear a lot of Job stuff come in because I'm in the middle of Job in my devotions. I just find that story, it's fascinating to me, the whole exchange with Job. I think it's much brighter than people think, much wiser than people think. But we'll deal with that another time. Here we go. So I want to go back to this Psalm 103 and talk about the benefits. I think that's really important. We talked about that the Lord is compassionate and gracious. That means that he is not just sympathetic, which would be correct, but also empathetic, which would be correct, because Jesus Christ became one of us so that he can, you know, make that connection. Remember that Billy Graham story. Yes, it's his story as far as I know. No, it's not a Bible story, but it's a great story about the father and the son walking across the field and coming across an anthill. And the anthill was stepped on, and some ants were dead, and some were wounded, and some were going around circles, some were trying to help. And the father said, gosh, what's the best way, or gee, gosh, golly, what's the best way that we can help the ants? And the son said, I don't know. And the father said, we become an ant, and then we can help them. So it's a great understanding that that's what the Lord did. When Jesus became one of us, he enabled us to connect with him at a whole nother level. It's exceedingly important to understand. That's why he's the only one that could be a mediator between God and man as being God and man. So the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Here's the one I want you to get. Slow to anger, abounding in love. Slow to anger. Too many of us have this image of God. And your image of God is he's a sheriff, okay, in town, and he's walking around with his gun and his whip, and he's just looking for people to do something wrong so he can snap the whip. And boy, if it's really bad, he pulls out his gun and shoots his bullets right before you and then just, you know, gets it closer and closer. And this is a problem because this is an image we have of God when, in fact, God is slow to anger. If you will look at the history in the Old Testament specifically about how many times he warned Israel and then how many times he sent a prophet going, hey, 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 pay attention. Pay attention. This is going to end bad for you if you don't listen to what I'm saying. And then he would do that, and then he would keep doing that. And let me just point this out to you. As he would do that, then Israel, there would be times that they would get it back together and do it right and get walking right, and then no long distance from there, they would start messing up again. And none of us are patient like that. Just want to say, none of us are patient like God. He is slow to anger. And I think this is a big key. And for me, in my devotions, it really helps me understand because you look at Job, and let's just use that story because it's fresh on my mind. And he had these things happen to him, and his friends who were trying to comfort him, they weren't trying to cover him, but they were absolutely sure that everything was taking place because Job had sinned. They were wrong. They spoke wrong about God. Sometimes God allows things to happen for a multitude of reasons. You don't know why the Lord allows that to happen. But sometimes he'll be patient with you even when you're messing up. Have you ever noticed that? When God is gracious to you, still answers your prayers? Because he's slow to anger. He's not quick on the trigger. I mean, that's the best way to say it. Some of us are quick on the trigger. I'm that way. That is one of my biggest – I think it's one of my biggest faults if you get to know me personally. It's that, you know, I get – you know, it's like when people – you know, when the government does dumb things or when people do dumb things, I go, that's so dumb. And I don't even know the whole story sometimes. I just give my give my opinion. And so the idea is that God is not like that. He is very slow in that anger process. He's abounding in love. Look, God never chastises you because he hates you. He never puts you through a trial because he dislikes you. He's never trying to alter you to the image of Christ because he's got it in for you. Okay? The Lord is trying to do all that the Lord – not trying. The Lord does – not trying to do. The Lord does all that he does for us and not against us. And we know that's true. The scripture says God is for us and not against us. We don't have to. You don't have to sit there and evaluate that. He's for you. He's not against you. And in being for you, sometimes, you know, there'll be discipline, but he's not – that discipline's not quick on the draw. He's not, you know, – pulls out the 2x4 and smacks you on the head. That's not who you serve. That's not who you love. Now watch this. That's not who loves you. The Lord is compassionate and he's gracious. Full of grace, full of giving unmerited favor. He's slow to anger, and he abounds in love simply because he enjoys you. You think, well, God doesn't enjoy me. I'm a mess. Right. I'm going to spend eternity with somebody I don't want to be with, too. I mean, that's just like silly. The Lord loves you. He's for you. He's with you. And yes, not everything goes smooth as can be. Not everything's butter. You know that we have disruptions in life. I have disruptions today. You'll have disruptions tomorrow. Doesn't mean the Lord's not compassionate. Doesn't mean he's not gracious. Doesn't mean he's not slow to anger and abounding in love. If you do something wrong and the Lord brings it to your attention, own it. Bring it to him. Every time the Lord reveals something to me that I'm doing wrong, I've just decided for the rest of my, you know, it's only 42 years, so it's a very short walk so far. But for the rest of my life, for the rest of my existence, if the Lord says you're doing this, it's like, okay, I need help. Instead of defending myself, justifying myself, trying to prove myself right and righteous, I yield to the Lord and say, help me. Help me to do it better and to be better, to say, think, and do as you would have me say, think, and do, so that I can honor you and thank you that you're slow to anger. If God judged me according to my sins, this is what you would be hearing right now on the air if God judged me according to my sins. Ready? This is what you hear. Because I wouldn't be on the air, you see? I'd be gone. If God judged me as I deserved, I'd be in trouble. And then, oh, both of them. Two words for you, tra and bull. There you go. You can use that one anywhere, even with your friends. We do that a lot with the word therapy. Two words for you, therapy. Okay. Answer to the trivia question, who said, speak for thy servant hears you? The answer to that was and is Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. If you remember, the Lord called out to him once, called out to him twice, and called out to him a third time before Eli said, you got to just say, you know, here I am, Lord, speak. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us, and we don't even know it's him. So open that one up so you can use it more often. Here we go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me and I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our King, our Shepherd, our Father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.